This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
Our guest today is the beautiful Natalie Jackson. Natalie is the author of the spiritual fiction book, All the Light and Dark Things, as well as the creator of the Oracle deck, Unveil the Mythic Feminine. Through sacred rites of fire, shadow, and remembrance, she guides seekers into the hidden landscapes of self, where fear dissolves and inner power is reclaimed. A holistic practitioner in shadow work and a firewalk facilitator, a mystic and a healer, her work weaves embodiment, energy, and ancient wisdom into lived initiation rather than technique. She is the creator of the 12 archetypes of the powerful woman wheel and founder of the Woman Unveiled Mystery School, as well as the Soulfire Academy of Firewalking. She offers living frameworks for sovereignty, self-initiation, and wholeness, inviting seekers to remember who they are, unveil their mythic power, and walk the path of embodied fulfillment. Oh, hello, everybody. So good to be with you on another edition of When Spirit Calls. I have another extra special guest on today, and this beautiful guest has been an ally of mine for well over a decade. She was back in the day with me when I ran Your Holistic Earth, and I just fell in love with this woman instantly. She's got a gentleness to her. She's got a grace to her. She's got a Christ consciousness energy to her. And I just felt she was so magical. And of course, I would run into her from time to time at a local cafe that we'd like to go to. And so it has just been this beautiful progression of our relationship. And now I have the privilege of hosting events out on her beautiful property just outside of Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Deanne. Thank you so much. That was really beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, well, I could ramble on about all the beautiful, majestic things that you are, but I will start with a little story because you actually unlocked something in me that was really powerful. I came out to your property, this is probably 6 or 7 years ago, and you were doing a Magdalene ceremony. And I didn't really know what the heck that was. We were just outside laying on the grass and there was all these women and you guys were like singing and doing stuff and doing energy work. And I was so moved. It was my first time where I publicly expressed light language. And the first time I heard light language, it was very activating for me. It was at another event with a friend of mine, Glenda Lane, who you might know. And that activated me. And then I started getting this gibberish kind of language that was coming through me. And I didn't understand. I thought it was a bit weird. But when you did that ceremony on that property that day, something just emerged from me. And I was speaking in tongues and I was speaking this light language. As you guys were doing this ceremony, I remember very vividly, part of my ego was like, no, don't say anything, don't speak up. And then it just came out. I didn't even have control over it. So I remember that being a really critical time for me because it was like something clicked for me in that moment. And ever since then, not only have I spoken light language, but now I sing light language. And it was something that I just didn't know was available to me. I didn't know it was okay for me. I didn't understand it all. And so, you know, just bringing that story in because you unlocked so much majesty in me, so much magic in me. And so I wanted to share that with you. I don't know if I ever shared that story with you over the years, but something magical happened to me in that session. So thank you for that. Thank you for being an activator for me and for so many people.
Thank you. I did not know that story. And I remember that moment too. And I was like, wow, there's so much courage and authenticity and realness. And yeah, it was a really beautiful moment.
It was. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And I recall there was a woman beside me who was having quite an experience too. And I felt like I was helping in some way, you know? Yeah, it was just really profound. So you have been doing this magical Magdalene work and shadow work and all these incredible things. And I want our audience to know how you got here, because it doesn't come from a lack of experience when you're working in shadow. So will you enlighten us, my dear, and tell us the backstory in how you came to be this glorious steward of the land that you have, and this glorious steward of welcoming our truth and our authentic expression?
Thank you. Absolutely. What do I want to share? Well, I think I'll start with, I wasn't always on this journey. I was on a very different trajectory in the oil field as an electrical engineer, you know, living a life surrounded by the masculine, very dominant kind of environment of the masculine. And then I gave birth to three boys. So it was, the masculine energy was so prevalent in my space. And I remember for years operating in my own masculine, and, you know, and it felt normal. It felt like the thing to do in order to belong and to fit in those environments. But then it wasn't until my oldest son, he was born and he had a brain injury at birth. And that led to lots of, like, he's 25 now, and he still operates with an injured brain. You know, a lot of the stories that we hear about emotional outbursts and not controlling, you know, our anger and all of those kinds of things, that was really real in his growing up, raising him. You know, that was a part of our life. And so I quickly realized I felt powerless as a mother. So my journey into the holistic world and the world of learning about the Magdalenes and how to walk that path was my initiation into motherhood, without a doubt.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a difficult one, and it's still ongoing. I wouldn't say that it's resolved. You know, my son has struggled with addictions his entire life, since he was a teenager anyway, and it's still there in his space. So we keep coming back to, you know, how am I really being authentic with what's going on inside of me, enough so that I can face the inner world and then show up in the other outer world in a way that's really whole. And that has been, in a nutshell, my initiation through the lens of, or the gateway maybe, of motherhood, that led me into working with shadows, that then eventually opened up this whole world of the Magdalenes that I know intuitively I've lived in other lifetimes. When that gate was opened up, it was so familiar. I was like, oh, of course I know about these teachers. Of course I know about how they live their lives. And it just, it's like it reawakened something inside my own DNA.
Yeah, it was that remembrance, right? You know, it's in our DNA. And we know, even through science and studies, that we're starting to understand that our atoms are molecules. They're not atoms and molecules, they're stories. Mm-hmm. And so it's the stories of our ancestors and of our own soul selves, right? That is now coming into remembrance. So, you know, being a mother and having a situation with you when you have a child who is not, you know, 100% in what we would call a quote unquote normal, right? Obviously, that presented some challenges for you. I'm curious, I'm going to ask you like a brave question here, because myself, I struggled becoming a mom in a big way. And I'm curious to know, was it a struggle piece or a resentment piece that prompted you to do the shadow work? Like, was that the catalyst? I'm just curious to know what that was.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And what I've kind of uncovered over the years is, for the longest time, when I started my spiritual practice, actually, I was a young mom. And I took my whole story of motherhood and set it aside because it didn't seem to fit. Like, here I was getting all of this information, and I could see myself as a holistic practitioner. I was doing really good work in the world. And my mother's story was out of a line. It was like a separate story that didn't have the same feel inside of me. So I didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it for about 15 years.
Wow.
In my whole career as a facilitator and a guide into these mysteries. And it wasn't until I started doing shadow work that I realized, oh, there's a whole untapped something in me that needs to be resolved in me, because it was in shadow. My whole journey of motherhood actually was in shadow, if I'm being told.
Wow. Ooh, I just got goosebumps hearing that. And I would say mine has been a big part of my shadow too. You know, I knew I was meant to be a mother, and then I became a mother and I was like, what the hell have I done? You know, it was like panic set in, and I had a very highly sensitive child who still is a highly sensitive child that requires a considerable amount of my capacity. And in fact, I didn't even want to have a second, because I thought, if this first one is this all consuming, how can I possibly manage a second? And eventually I did make a decision to have a second child, and I'm so glad that I did, because they're so different energetically and they do have different teachings for me as my greatest teachers, these kids. But, you know, I struggled with telling people that I was struggling as a mom, because I had so much shame and guilt around it, you know. And running a business while being a mother, the business takes a lot of time too, and you're helping all these people. And then there was guilt and shame around, oh, maybe I need to be helping my children more. Or then when I was helping with my children, I would feel bad that I wasn't there for the people that needed me over here, you know? And so it was a lot of this back and forth. So you had decided when your children were young that you were going to go into more of this holistic kind of spiritual stuff. Was there a catalyst for that specifically? Or did you just feel the call?
It was my son when he was really young. Yeah, it was really tough for the first few years. He cried for the first few years because of the injury on his brain. Right. Had to have surgery when he was 8 months. Oh. So there were a lot of like obstacles to, you know, to work through, to walk through as a mother and a parent. That again, my engineering career, 5 years of schooling did not prepare me for the, you know, how difficult that was. You know, what if it's not all sunshine and rainbows like we hoped it would be as a mother, right? And suddenly there's these really difficult, like, walls that we're confronted with that we need to face and work through. And so that whole journey of, like, allowing that to be a part of my story, softening into compassion for myself. And I too felt a lot of shame and guilt that, you know, I was out of integrity. Like, how can I be that version of me here?
Right. And that this version of me there.
Yeah.
I think that happens to a lot of us, though, where it's like, oh, well, this is this version of me. And now it's this version of me. And we have all these different versions based on what we think people should expect of us. And I've been working hard at just peeling those masks down over the last few years of like, hey, I'm this and I'm that. You know, I'm spiritual and I also say fuck sometimes, you know? And so it's like, can I just be all of those things all the time and just allow for myself to be received in that way? And that's been a big part of my journey here. Yeah. So I think this is so beautiful. And I thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I know for myself as a young mom, I really had this perception that all the other moms were way better moms than me. You know, they were making sure that they had little love notes in their kids' lunch baskets, and they were, you know, showing up for every practice. And, you know, and I thought, how do these women do it? Like, I'm barely, you know, keeping my head above water here. And all these women are just showing up in this way. But as I started to tell people, you know, like, I was struggling with being a mom, more and more people were like, oh, my God, thank God you said something. Like, it's so hard. You know, I don't even know what I'm doing most days, you know. And I think for a really long time, there was this stigma around motherhood and how you had to show up. And then came the movie Bad Moms, if you haven't seen it. It's super funny with, yeah, it's got some great actors in it. And it was like, oh my God, okay, so we're not alone in this. Like, we're not perfect. We're all trying to friggin' figure it out. And it's a learning and growing process. So I think it's beautiful that that's now part of the story. And what a gift your son gave you in allowing you to turn into these other spaces and places that you haven't been before.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an initiation. It was like a thrust.
It's like, you're going, here's the shove.
Yeah. Here you go.
You haven't done your work. Okay, we'll give you something to do your work about, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. And what an authentic then. So, you know, I went from maybe having some rose-colored glasses for a really long time and see, you know, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, just to suddenly realizing everything's not fine. So I had to, you know, we have to open up Pandora's box first and have a really good, honest look before we can transition into, oh, no, actually, everything's fine. And now it's a real fine.
Yes.
It's true.
You know, it's something about finding peace within our hearts, no matter what's happening around us. And I think that's I think my mission in life is, no matter what chaos is ensuing around me, that I can still find a place of peace within myself. And it sounds to me like you found that peace within yourself through all of this work. So can you just tell us, because you got so much training in different pockets. I mean, you got your shadow work and all these things. Can you just kind of summarize what it is that you help people with the most and what it is that you do?
Yeah, I would say what I help people with the most is recognizing that most of us have a glass ceiling that creates unconscious limitations. And we're not even realizing that we're operating on those unconscious limitations. But there it is. Here, I've stopped myself from speaking out. I've stopped myself from, you know, shining my light. I've stopped this. So I think what I do really well, just because of my own blasting through all of those limitations, is to shine the light on where are our glass ceilings and how do we expand into versions of ourselves like we never even thought were possible.
Right. I mean, it's like me in the Magdalene Circle that I did at your place. I never even thought it was possible for me to express light language in public, you know, and here I am now, many years later, singing it to groups and groups of people. So beautiful. You definitely do that well. So you do this through a number of modalities. You have some holistic practitioner background. You've got shadow work background. You're an intuitive as well. You're a ceremony facilitator. We're going to do a fire walk this summer at our event. So you're going to help us with that. I mean, all of the things. What would you say are the key pieces that you wish you would have had as you went through your journey? Like, what do you want our audience to know? And, you know, maybe they're getting blasted and they had an experience like you had with your son that it was just like, oh my God, my world is crashing around me. And what do I do about that? What are some of the things that you want to bring to the surface for our audience?
Yeah, I think the thing that I want to speak to now, especially in light of today's world, like there's turbulence in the world right now. And I would even say that collective shadows are up as a civilization. Yes.
It's very volatile, isn't it?
Oh, goodness.
You know, the volatility. I'm seeing people fly off the handle like this, and it's almost not even making sense.
Exactly. So what I would offer in that light is, well, first and foremost, to stay in our own lane. That's an expression I keep coming back to. I was like, oh, right. That's them and their stuff. Okay, so how can I just work on me and my stuff? So what we have control over is imperative to understand in the, you know, in the collective shadow and the chaos that's up. I have control over my own reactions, my emotions, my internal world, what's happening in here, in this body temple. That's what I have control over. And so if I'm in my own lane and tending to what's out of balance, right? Figuring out how to deal with some unresolved grief in my body, maybe learning how to express anger in a new way, finding a healthy outlet for anger, those kind of things. If I'm doing that, then I can, it's like my tolerance level has just up-leveled an exponential amount. So that I would say is key right now to do our
okay. I love this, and I want to speak to this for a moment because I think it's so easy for people to get caught up in other people's drama. And I've been seeing this happen a lot, you know, even people who watch the news, right? And they come and they're doom and gloom and all this stuff. And I think, you know, if we even go 100 or 200 years ago, we didn't even know what was happening in the next village over. We didn't have to know. And so now we're getting overstimulated and completely overwhelmed by everyone else's drama and trauma that isn't even ours. So what you're telling us is the reminder of like, that's not your lane. Your lane is not that, to get hooked into that story that's happening over there. And it doesn't mean you can't support it and send them love. We're not saying that. But it means that to not get caught up in all of the drama and the trauma, We don't need to bring that internally into us. It's not our story. So why are we getting caught up in all these other stories?
Yeah, exactly. And not only is it not our story, we actually have no power in changing it if it's outside of us. You know, and I really learned that lesson with my son and his addictions, right? So here there's this thing that I would like to be gone, and I was completely powerless in choosing that for him. So that, you know, that whole life lesson really, like, it's landed in me now. Until somebody else wants to do it and make the changes and, you know, create different habits for themselves, change their beliefs, whatever. Until they want that, there's nothing that I can say anyway that's going to make a difference.
Right. That's exactly it. So stay in your own lane. Mind your business. I mean, really, it's, you know, I talk about it as divine responsibility and false responsibility. You know, I think a lot of us are getting caught up in this aspect of false responsibility, believing it's our responsibility to take care of that person on the other side of the planet, or our responsibility to carry the energy or the emotion of that person or that friend or whomever it may be. And then what happens is we get depleted, we get exhausted, and then we wonder, you know, what's going on? And it's because we're falling into these traps of this false responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And then I would even take that one step further and say, then I have nothing to offer those around me if my tank is empty. You know, there's literally nothing I can
do. Nothing. Nothing. And I spent most of my life feeling depleted and exhausted. You know, I think back to my Your Holistic Earth days and how much I was pouring out, and I wasn't filling myself back up. Because I was caught up in the false responsibility, believing that I had to do all of these things, right? Yeah, it's fascinating. All right, I love that one. And what a beautiful reminder for all of us. Stay in our lane, folks. Okay, what else you got?
Well, I think if we're going to, you know, spin back around to the teachings of the Magdalens, one of the biggest pieces that I have learned from walking this path is to choose to walk as love. That love overcomes fear each and every time when I'm making choices from that place. And so my practice, my devotion every day is to sit in, you know, what would love want from me today? What does it look like for love to show up today? Because I don't know that fear is going to support what's happening outside of me. I don't think it will.
I love this. And I think, you know, love is such, I think we struggle to even understand what love is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to invite those listening to just tune into, what does love really mean to you? What does it really feel like to you? Because I think it's really easy to have a facade version of what love is, you know, especially because some of us have had experiences where someone was quote unquote acting out of love, but it didn't feel like it, right? And so we have some confusion sometimes about love, but I love these questions that you're asking of, like, what does love mean from me today was one of your questions. And I think that's so beautiful that, like, oh, I get to build this relationship with love, and I get to talk to love, and I get to know love in a whole different way. And so there's this befriending of love itself, of the essence of love itself, that we can then, you know, nurture and grow that beautiful expansiveness of love. And the more love we have, like you said, the more of a container we have that overcomes that fear.
Mm-hmm. And so a real concrete example of that might be, you know, maybe there's a conflict. Maybe there's someone in my life who has a different opinion than me. We're seeing this everywhere right now. Well, here we have polar opposite opinions about something. And we've created this whole cancel culture that can just go, okay, I can just eliminate you because you don't believe what I believe. And so, you know, if I'm bringing in this teaching into that current of what we're seeing happening right now, what would love do in the face of opposition?
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's a gentleness that moves into curiosity, and I'm wondering what it's like from that person's perspective. Like, there's gentleness, there's compassion there.
There's grace. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I really love looking at the world with that lens, mm-hmm. you know, and seeing the opportunity in, okay, well, what would love do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. What would love do in this situation? You know, I just think that question right there is a game changer.
Yeah.
You know, I think about times, you know, I've been struggling with my 15-year-old because she's a 15-year-old. And mom's an idiot and mom's annoying. And we recently had a road trip, which I was so excited about. Like, we're going to bond on this road trip. It was for a hockey tournament, like 6 hours away. We had all this time in the car. And I'm trying to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk. She just wants to tune out, listen to her music. So I had to just surrender to that. And even though I didn't ask myself the question, what would love do? I did call in for grace. Because there was a part of me that's like, I want to ask her questions and I want to be engaging as her mother and show interest. She didn't want any of that. Yeah. And so I had to readjust what I thought it needed to look like to be a good mom. And I just had to surrender to it. And so I just called in grace, you know, which is one of my techniques, is just to call in grace. And so all of a sudden I had grace. I listened to my music. I enjoyed my drive. And it was quiet, and that's okay. You know, it was what it needed to be. And it showed my daughter that I could hold the space for her, even if she didn't feel like talking about it or whatever. But I love that question, what would love do? Because I actually think that I might have done something even a little bit different in that situation. You know? So I think that's, oh, I love that question. I'm going to use it all the time now. What would love do in this situation? What would love say right now? What would that expression of love look like? Yeah, I love it. Beautiful. Thank you for that. I needed to hear that today. All right. You got one more for us, Natalie?
I think another big teaching in the Magdalene lineage is about the balance of masculine feminine energy. And I think that can really support us now, again, looking, you know, if we're going to look externally as a mirror to maybe what's going on internally for so many humans, yeah. Right? We're seeing a big imbalance of masculine feminine energy. And what I mean by that is not gender related. It's just, you know, outward expression versus inward reflection. That's how kind of I would chunk it down to that, right?
Yeah.
And so when we have that balance inside of us, if I can spend as much time or at least some time by myself, listening to my inner world, reflecting, being quiet, being mindful, being soft and gentle, as much time as I, you know, do that. And then when I show up in my more masculine way in the world, come and speak, I facilitate, I do these things. There's a balance inside of me that already comes from that soft place. And I've tended to my inner world. My littles on the inside have been heard. You know, there's a different version of me that shows up.
Right. I think this is really important because we've noticed even in the last decade, there was this uprising of woman power, you know, all these women groups and stuff rising to the surface. Yeah, go women, you know, it was this big rah, rah, rah. And then with that, we also kind of saw this, I don't know how to phrase it without being offensive, but almost like the men or the masculine got kind of belittled or they got put in a corner in a way. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to see more of the men starting to stand up and want to be representations of that divine masculine. But the women I'm seeing some of these collective groups are still very angry and resentful towards that. And so I do think that there's a harmony that's being called for. And it's not something we can do extrinsically, people. Natalie just said it. It's the balance within ourselves. I have masculine, feminine within me. You have masculine, feminine within you. We all have that. There was a mystic out of Europe who talked about the fact that more of us as human beings, we're going to have a balance of the masculine, feminine poles within us. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they kind of describe it, is that like we each have these masculine, feminine poles. Some are stronger than others. And they're saying more of us that are coming into this world will have more of the balance of them, which is going to create confusion amongst humanity of whether they are women, men, whether they like women or men and all of these things. So we actually see this happening real time right now, and there's confusion. But where we start to really honor is when we heal those shadow aspects of the masculine and feminine, and we see it as a unified field. And this is where some of your work really steps out in comparison to some other modalities, is that there's a part of this that even though you're working with what they call the Magdalene, and we'll explain that in a second, we see this merging of these masculine and feminine in a healthy way. Yes. And that's what we're swinging back to now, right? And I see that now starting to come alive in a lot of people where they're like, no, I love my masculine part of me and I love my feminine part of me.
You know,
and I love both those parts of me. I was very much in my masculine too. And I think that's why it was so jarring for me in motherhood, because then I had to go from successful professional career woman, you know, making money and leading teams and all the things to this softer mom. And it was like, what am I doing? I don't know this feminine part of me. I grew up as a tomboy. I played sports. You know, I was the overachiever. And now I've got a soften. What the hell is that? Right. So I love that it's my process and my journey has been very much about honoring those shadow parts and also honoring the delicious, beautiful parts and really allowing those parts to be revealed. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think one way that we can start doing that, like that might be in mystery for, you know, some of the listeners here is how do we even do that? Well, one thing I'll offer is start really paying attention to where the triggers are that bother you and somebody else. You know, the things that really piss you off, the things that really activate you, that get your blood boiling. That is a direct mirror to something that's maybe been repressed or hidden inside of ourselves.
Yes.
So if I'm looking outwards and I'm angry at this, you know, we'll use your example from earlier. Maybe I'm angry at men for doing XYZ. If I'm going to use that as a beautiful divine mirror inside of myself, then there's a part of myself that I'm angry at. There's something I haven't forgiven on the inside. That's where we can do the work.
That's so beautiful. And you know, I know people are like, oh, I got triggered. It was so bad. It's like, no, you got triggered. It's so good. Yeah. Because it's like, it's being revealed to you where there is work to be done. And I love shadow work for that reason. You know, I think a lot of us have this like, you know, pushback on the shadow work, right? And it's like, oh, shadow work. But it's not. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's enlightening. And it reveals to us the parts that want to be loved, seen, and heard. And that to me is like the most beautiful thing ever. I absolutely just love that.
Yeah. It really is. And also I'll add to that, it's also a revelation of the psyche and the unconscious being ready to resolve it. If it is up right now, it means all systems go. It's time to actually heal this inside of myself. And what a beautiful gift this mirror has given.
Yes, right? Isn't it something? Even though it doesn't feel like it when we first see it, it's like, oh, this is awful. But it really is a gift, folks. And that's the point we're trying to get across, is that there's so much value in those triggers and in those emotions that rise up inside of you. And all is welcome here. So, you know, that's part of this whole beautiful journey. We can welcome all parts of it. We're not rejecting any parts. We're welcoming all. So we are truth. Our truest divine self can be revealed to us.
Beautiful self. Yeah.
This is so much fun. I could stay in this space forever, but we are going to have to wrap it up. And I just want to, give our audience a bit of a sense of what we're talking about when we keep referencing the Magdalens. So can we talk to, like, what the heck are we talking about? Because you now are running some Magdalen courses. We talked about some Magdalen ceremony that you're doing. Who are the Magdalens? Why should we know about them?
Yeah, they're really prevalent in the collective consciousness now. Like, we're hearing, you know, the name Mary Magdalene being spoken loudly. And so Miriam of Magdala was a human who walked the earth about 2,000 years ago, about the same time as Jesus did. And they were known to be in the same collective. And in some belief systems, they were actually partners. Now, that's that might be more speculation than researched and data. And what I'll offer is that, so there was this woman who walked the earth who embodied, you know, the sacred union, the balance of the masculine, feminine, standing in your power and your truth and authenticity. And she brought those teachings then to Great Britain, where she spent the rest of her after Jesus died and resurrected, according to the legends and the stories and the references. And so she, you know, took these really profound ways of being in the world, which were really counterculture. If you can imagine 2,000 years ago, very counterculture for a woman to have voice and power and equality. It was unheard of. And she brought it then to the British Isles, that, and you know, those teachings kind of then created communities and ways of being and extended into this, I would say, like a living current of the divine feminine that has lasted through the ages. Wow. And that current keeps rising when there's a really big imbalance of masculine feminine.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the story of the Magdalens, and, you know, the way that Spirit brought it to me was that the Magdalens were like the feminine to Jesus and the disciples. Mm-hmm. And so there's this beautiful quality that balanced that energy out. And a lot of the Magdalens would go and they would deliver children and they would help the moms and they would help, you know, healings, and they would wash feet and all the things that they did to serve humanity. And so understanding that there was a real live human being, mm-hmm. you know, this wasn't just some made up hocus pocus, that there was a real human who paved the way for that, for us to step into our divinity and for us to see the sacred union of the masculine and feminine as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so beautiful. So there's all these teachings that you now are allowing to be brought to the surface that are being unearthed that have not been maybe taught for a while on many levels. And so now you get to help other people to understand the truth of who they are, because many of us are Magdalens. Am I not mistaken?
I agree. I think that's why we're hearing that word spoken so frequently now. I think it's because it's a remembrance. And women come to me all the time and say, I just keep having dreams about roses, about wearing a red veil over my head. I don't know what any of this means. And so it's showing up in the collective psyche that the divine feminine is rising again in us. And we're just remembering. We're remembering, you know, multiple lifetimes where it was suppressed and we had to like work for it. We had to bring it up out of the shadows and yeah. and speak from that place again.
You know, it's so interesting as you talked about the red veil. I remembered a dream that I had that was a very lucid dream about 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. It was a long time ago, but the dream was very lucid and it felt very charged energetically. And what it was a bunch of us were in red hoods. So we had like red hooded capes, like Little Red Hat Riding Hood almost. And we were all in these like robe capes with these hoods on them. And it was all women. It was a sea of women. And we were on the edge of a mountain range, and out jetting from the mountain range was like a cliff. And they had put me up on the cliff, and I was on the cliff. And I don't know what I was doing, but I was doing some magical something or other. And I remember just feeling like this was it was almost like a prophecy. It felt like a prophecy to me. You know, I remember in the dream talking about it being a prophecy of us all gathering together and us creating this heaven on earth. And I had forgotten about that dream until you just said that now. It had been a long time since I unpacked that. So there's a reason for that.
Amazing. You know what's really amazing? A woman in my program, my Woman Unveiled program, had a really similar dream last week. And wow. She got AI to create the image of red cloaked women all standing at the edge of a cave.
No. Oh my God, I just got shivers through my whole body. So, you know, we're tuned into that collective consciousness, that's for sure. Yeah, I think that will reveal itself. I love that. I would love to see what that AI picture shared with you, because I'd love to just close that circuit. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and validating my vision and what I saw. So I think this is amazing. Natalie, how do people reach out to you? I mean, you guys have an incredible property that you also rent out for different events and things like that. So I want to let people know about that just outside of Edmonton, Alberta. It's a beautiful space. But can you tell us what you have on the docket? Like what, if we want to, you know, reach out to you, how do we find you? All those things.
Absolutely. Well, I think the thing that I'll offer that I love, because it's so linked to the Magdalene teachings, is I've created just a short little ebook called Blossom Into Your Sacred Wild Self. And it brings in some embodiment practices, but also the awakening of the sexuality and the sensual nature of ourselves as humans. And so I think that is an important part of it as well, is just waking up, you know, waking up in all ways. And so I'll offer that ebook up to anyone who's listening to this. And then, you know, a real invitation, if you want to bring medicine or teachings to land right now, that we're like, I'm guarding this land now. I am a sacred guardian of this land and of ceremonies and rituals and of this new, the rising of these ceremonies that are going to lead us forward as humanity. And this land is here for that. You know, so I'm just opening that up to whoever just knows inside of themselves, or maybe has the call of the Magdalene inside themselves to come to the land.
Explore. Amazing. And of course, you can see Natalie virtually too. For all of you that are not near us, just know you can still access her courses and her work that she does. And that ebook, we're going to have that link in the show notes. So just click on that and you will get access to that ebook. And of course, you can reach out to Natalie through her website, which will be in the show notes as well for you all. Natalie, oh, this has been so full of love, and I'm just, oh, soaked it all up. Any final words for our audience today?
I think the words that want to come through are words of just a real invitation to keep moving forward as a collective, to keep coming together, to remembering that we all have a part to play. We all have an instrument to play in the great symphony of humanity. Right. And as long as we're willing to play that instrument fully, then humanity all benefits from it.
I love that. We all have an instrument to play in the orchestra of humanity. We're going to leave that right there for you all. Thank you, Natalie. I love you. I so appreciate your time and your essence and all that you brought to the table today. And for those listening, thank you for continuing to tune into our show. Please share this podcast if you know somebody needs to hear it. And please continue to tune in every couple of weeks. We've got a new podcast for you. So until next time, be well and take care. Bye for now, everyone.
So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca. And when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.